Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Now, the WhatsApp is still open, 0870 32 32 32. I want you to meet this Tipperary woman, Katie Gleeson, who's gone through a wild career change. She's also a mother of three. She's still studying. She's doing everything. Good morning, Katie.
Good morning, Oliver. Thanks for having me on.
Tell us what you did before your life change.
So I was a hairdresser for 15 years.
That's quite a long time to be doing it.
Quite a long time.
You were good at
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I was. I enjoyed it. Now, it was a great career, but I've since changed career and now I'm a dairy farmer. So... Bit different.
Perfectly normal.
Hairdressing
department. And the 15 years as a hairdresser, did you do it in a salon or were you travelling? What was the...
So basically I've been hairdressing since I left secondary school. I worked in salons around Tipperary and then I met my husband Phil and we went travelling for a while. So went to Australia, did a bit of hairdressing out there.
It's a very handy skill to
have. It's a great... It's like any trade. You can take it all over the world. So it's
great. You can pay for extend the travels.
Exactly. That's it.
What time... What period would you have been on Australia, the two of you? How long ago?
Now, funny enough, we actually flew out of Dublin Airport on the 13th September 2008. So we left one Ireland, which was Celtic Tiger, and we came back to a completely different Ireland when we'd entered the recession. So, yeah, it was a
And Australia was generally unaffected by the kind of global crash.
It was, yeah. I suppose at the time, the euro was actually really strong. So we were getting great value for money out there. There was a lot of Irish people out there backpacking and, you know, having the crack and living their best life. Mm-hmm. But towards the end of it, people were nearly starting to travel over to find work. So you could see actually that shift, you know, kind of coming through.
So you're coming back with Phil, madly in love. So obviously the future was kind of lining itself up for the two of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, we were. He's a farmer.
He was a dairy farmer. So I suppose in our early years together, dairy farming wasn't a huge part of our life. He worked off farm for the local co-op and I was doing hairdressing. And we built a house out on the farm and we got married and then we had three lovely kids in 3 years. So we were busy. And then in 2017, Phil began the farm succession. So it's when he took over the farm from his father. And at that time, I suppose I had three kids, three and under. So I decided to stay at home for a few years. But that was when my life kind of changed. Motherhood changed my life in so many ways. But actually, the one surprising way was that it gave me an opportunity to actually rediscover things that I loved from my past. And, you know, I found a new career in it.
Things from your past. Was it from your past?
Well, no, I grew up in a town, so I'm not from a farm at all. Mm-hmm. But I suppose as a child, I always had a love of the countryside. So the house and estate we grew up in backed out onto farmland and I had loads of great memories as a child playing around the fields and, you know, being out in nature and I always really enjoyed that. And, you know, as you grow up yourself, you get kind of caught up in life and...
100% because you forget the amount of time you spent outside.
Of course, that's
as a child,
it, yeah.
And it doesn't replicate as an adult if you have a certain career that puts you inside buildings.
No, that's it.
And you actually start to think that you couldn't be outside for very long because the weather is atrocious all the time. But it isn't, rediscovered as a farmer.
Yeah, yeah.
And what other things did you find out about yourself when you became a mum that you thought was unexpected?
Oh, gosh. Well, I actually discovered I had a real passion for photography. So I really got into taking pictures of like the farm and the cows and the kids. And I started a social media account at the time on Instagram. So that was around 2017. Mm-hmm. And
you were out early for the farming content.
I was indeed trailblazer. Yeah. But I called it Kate in the Country. And yeah, I suppose I began to share my life on there. So that was...
I presume you never had it in your plan that you were going to be settled and become a farmer yourself, like your husband, Phil.
No, that's it. Kind of grown up, I couldn't have told you the difference between slurry and silage 15 years ago.
Seriously?
I had no clue, not a bit. So I don't come from any sort of a farming stock at all. But when I began to kind of join Phil out in the farm and work out in the farm, I just discovered it was amazing. My mind was blown when I saw like all the different... kind of career aspects in farming. You know, you're dealing with everything from land management to animal health, you know, to milk quality. There's so many different aspects to it. So I just found it really interesting.
It's a huge company, really, isn't it? Even if it's just a family.
Yeah, even though it's a family farm and it's just us there, it's still at the end of the day, like any business person, you're self-employed and you kind of have to be a jack of all trades and, you know, get stuck into all aspects of the business. So
And this was a long history of farming with this family, wasn't it?
In Tip? Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So my husband, Phil, he's from a sixth generation dairy farm.
Six, really?
Yeah, they've been there a long, long time. Actually, it was quite fascinating. His uncle, Jerry, traced back their heritage all the way to the famine times.
Go ahead.
And on the farm, there's still this old cottage from the famine that we now use as a calf shed in the spring.
Of course.
But I go into it every spring when we're feeding calves, and it's like, in a sense, it's like walking through history. You know, you walk out of the shed and you can see the buildings that were put up in the 50s, up in the 60s. There's a hay shed in the farm, actually, where the steel girders on the roof came from the tram lines in Dublin.
Really?
Yeah. So, and then all the way through to the 90s when Philly's parents, they, you know, really built a lot of infrastructure on the farm. So, you know, they modernized it. And then onto myself and Phil. So, you know,
this is it, the future
now. That's it, absolutely.
How did you meet?
We met, I worked in a video shop. Do you remember those?
You seem
I'm
far too
my
young.
Age now.
You seem way too young to have been in the video, but they're gone over 10
it's
years.
The good country air keeping me young.
It really is.
But yeah, we worked in a video shop. Okay. So I used to work there. I had several jobs when I was in school, actually. I was a hairdresser, worked in a video shop, and I also worked in the local hotel on a Saturday evening.
Did you?
I was always quite industrious.
Very good preparation to be in a farm.
Yeah, definitely.
And was he a regular visitor to the video shop?
Yeah, he used to come in every Sunday to rent a movie, and then one night we met when we were out in the local nightclub, and that was that. And unfortunately, the video shop profits did dive after it. He stopped renting videos, but
just before the crash.
That's it, exactly.
Even not to mention the nightclub, which is also another thing.
That's gone
spiraling,
unfortunately.
And the three kids, tell us about the family at home.
Yeah, so I have Daniel, who's aged 11, and Faye, who's 10, and Jack, who's 8. So.
Are they able to work on the farm? No choice to do jobs. Do they?
They love going out, so they love you know, going into the parlour, and in the springtime they're great help with the calves. You know, they love bedding the pens and feeding the calves, so they're well into it. When the weather is good, of course.
Fair weather.
Fair weather.
Yeah,
farmers,
very good.
Yeah.
So the social media following, what did you want to kind of tell people and use social media as a kind of a tool to talk about farming in a particular way?
Well, I suppose when I set it up, it wasn't my intention to, you know, become a voice for farming. That happened inadvertently, actually, at the time.
Yeah.
So I suppose back in 2017, there was quite a strong green wave kind of going through politics and through the media.
Yeah.
And dairy farming began to come under a bit of scrutiny on that. And I just saw a lot of misinformation kind of from peers, from young mothers my own age, you know, who were saying like that the cows were locked up all the time, or they were being pumped full of hormones and antibiotics. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at this information from other young mothers in like Dublin and Galway. And then I was looking out the window at the cows out in the fields, and I was like, okay,
caged.
One of these things aren't like the other. So I said, you know what, I have a voice on here and I can use it. And so I began to share, you know, my own experience in farming. And at the time, I was also learning how to become a farmer at that stage. So I had a lot of the same questions that my followers would have had.
Right. And,
you know,
and you were discovering them.
Yeah,
firsthand.
I was discovering them too as well. So, you know, it was a journey for me and a journey for my longtime followers.
And the general conversation, which kind of tends to blame farming and agriculture for all of the emissions that's caused climate change, almost single-handedly.
Almost single-handedly, but not quite. We're not that good yet.
So you spent, to add to your workload, you're now a student as well.
Yes.
So you've gone in deep on the
education. Agricultural Stockholm Syndrome, I'd say. I'm the face of it. So if you can't beat them, join them. But
and it's connected to what we've just been talking about, isn't it? Because
of
sustainability in this course.
Absolutely. So I was really fortunate that at the time, 2 years ago, my local college, which is TUS in Thurles, so it's kind of connected with the old Limerick IT, Athlone IT, it's merged to the University of the Shannon.
Yeah. Still getting used to the TUS.
Used to it. But they began a degree in agricultural science and sustainability. So I suppose the course is like half ag science and half environmental science.
Interesting.
So we get to cover and go in depth into both subjects. And yeah, it was, you know, I've been very lucky so far, to be honest.
Is it lectures? Are there loads of exams? Is it continuous? How does this particular course
work? Yeah, so it's a full-time undergrad, but it's about 20 hours a week in college. So I'm very lucky that the college is quite close to me, so I'm able to
Plenty.
Kind of, yeah.
But you're able to juggle it at all?
I'm able to juggle it. Like the you know, the college semester is short, so it's 12 weeks, 24 weeks altogether in a year. So when you break it down like that, it's not.
Will it be 3 or 4 years?
It's 4 years, yeah. So I'm currently in my third year, yeah. Just finished up.
Very gosh.
Handed in my last assignment yesterday. So.
Oh, are you done for Christmas now?
Oh, done for Christmas.
Just the farming and the mothering to be done.
Yeah, that's it.
What kind of things have you learned in that course, by the way, that surprise you the most or things that you increased understanding?
I suppose for me, it's given me a new lens in which to view the countryside. So I've learned so much about how hedgerows benefit the countryside.
That's good for farmers because
I
see them being ripped out everywhere.
No, I wouldn't say they're
not
being ripped out everywhere, but, you know, we're learning how to manage them better.
Right.
So, you know, you can see that hedgerows provide ecosystem services.
Yeah.
They provide shade and shelter for your livestock. You know, they soak up nutrients. They provide so many benefits. And they're like, it's like the M50 for nature, you know, through the countryside.
Good.
They're interconnected wildlife corridors. So it's great and they're a huge benefit to any farm. But I've also learned more about milk quality, farm finance, water quality. There's a lot to it. So it's been a real journey.
The farm life then itself at the moment, would it be quiet now because it'd be drying off, the cows not milking as many?
So we're a spring-based calving system. So that means we calve our cows in the spring and then we milk all the way through to this time of the year. And we're drying off our cows actually this Saturday. So it's a lot Christmas on the farm
this
for
is
us.
The dream.
It's a really nice time of the year. We finally get to work a 9-to-5. So we're just mainly feeding the cattle during the day and checking everyone has enough water and checking.
You won't be flat out milking.
No, that's it. The starts aren't as early.
How many there would still be some milking going on, wouldn't there?
Yeah, so that's it. Most farmers in Ireland are spring calving, but there are a few brave soldiers who
keep going.
You know, plough on through the winter so you've milk in your shop on Christmas Day. But one fun thing I learned in college actually, which I didn't realise before, is that the calving is timed in line with the grass growth. So the grass will grow from the spring through way through the summer. And then we calve from the spring and the milk comes all the way through the summer, autumn. So it's,
Dare I ask milk prices at the moment? Because they hit record highs about a year or two ago and they seem to be flying for dairy farmers. But it's been a rougher year.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, unfortunately, it's looking like milk prices next year aren't going to be quite as good as they have been the last couple of years. But I suppose it's cyclical like everything when we're dealing with global markets, you know.
Except the price of keeping of your fertilizer and whatnot, the price of running the farm has gone high and it's not going to come down in line with milk prices.
Absolutely. And I suppose that's where farming is kind of changing as well. So maybe the era of expansion might be ending, but we're entering the era of efficiencies, you know, where we're incorporating clover into our grasslands to reduce our nitrogen fertilizer. We're incorporating, you know, higher animal breathing welfare. So that means we better cows producing more milk.
Yeah.
And you know, there's lots of different things we can do to reduce our inputs, reduce our costs while maintaining our outputs. And
especially when you know that a bad year is on its way.
Yeah, absolutely. And you prepare for these things.
Are you a derogation farm?
Yes, so we are.
A bit of an exemption from the strict EU rules.
Yeah.
It's on slurry and the commercial fertiliser, is it?
Yeah, so basically the derogation is based on your stocking rate. So it's the amount of animals your land is allowed to carry. And because of that, then we have to have increased environmental actions on our farms. So we have to have, you know, a lot of slurry storage so that there's not nutrient runoff. We have to reduce our chemical fertiliser. So that's why we're incorporating clover into our reseeds. And I suppose that's just the way it's going and
it is.
We're adjusting to that.
You'd need a degree, wouldn't you?
You kind of would. Actually, it's funny, like to be a farmer, you have to be proficient in so many different sciences. Like there's this, kind of thought out there that it's really like hands in the soil kind of stuff. But it's very technical.
It is. And bureaucratic.
Yeah, and very bureaucratic
in an office
too,
as well.
Definitely.
Well, listen, good luck with the milk prices next year, but have a lovely Christmas on the farm with the family.
Thank you very much.
And we can all follow Katie. You're the farm ambassador as well for the National Dairy Council.
Yeah, absolutely. So I became a farmer ambassador for the National Dairy Council and it's just a privilege to get to showcase the farming that I know, which is
well, you've
the
done
dairy
a great
sector.
Job with us this morning. Katie in the Country is the best way to find you on
absolutely.
Instagram. But Katie Gleeson, thank you so much.
Thanks very much for having me, Oliver. Take care.